Some cases close with a confession, some close with a conviction, and some never really close at all. The Grimes Tapes is a detective fiction series following Detective Sarah Grimes as she works the cases that don't fit neatly into a file. Cases where power, politics, and human nature collide. And the truth is, the last thing anyone wants found. The Grimes Tapes, Across the Aisle. The oldest motive in the book, a powerful man, secret hotel rooms, late-night phone calls to numbers that don't belong to his wife. When Callahan pulls the senator's records, everything seems to fall into place. A wife from a weapons dynasty, humiliated one too many times. A clean crime scene that whispers contract killing. A trail that leads straight back to Amelia Thornton. But in this case, the obvious answer has a habit of being the wrong one, and the week Grimes spends chasing betrayal in the bedroom may have cost her the real betrayal hiding in plain sight. Week 2. Callahan burst into Grimes's office on Monday morning, a stack of files clutched to his chest, and a look on his face that Grimes had learned to recognize, the look of a man who thought he'd cracked the case. "Senator Thornton's phone records and email archives," he said, spreading the files across her desk. "I cross-referenced them with his calendar and expense reports." He pointed to several highlighted entries. "Regular meetings, always at the same hotels, booked under different names. And these phone calls, late night, always to the same three numbers." Grimes leaned forward, scanning the documents. As the pieces fell into place, she felt a jolt of recognition. She'd seen this pattern 100 times. "Affairs, more than one." Callahan nodded vigorously. "At least 3 over the past 2 years. One ended about 6 months ago. A lobbyist named Rebecca Landon. Another is still active. And there's a third we haven't identified yet." Grimes stood, her fatigue momentarily forgotten. "A senator with multiple affairs, a wife from a powerful family, a political marriage under strain." She grabbed her jacket. "Mike, this could be our motive. Oldest one in the book." "That's what I was thinking. The wife finds out about the affairs, the humiliation becomes too much. She snaps. Or she hires someone. The cologne at the scene, the professional knife work, the clean crime scene, it all fits a contract killing. A wife with defense industry connections would know how to arrange that."
"So we're back to Mrs. Thornton?"
"We're back to the affairs. Let's start with the one we can identify, Rebecca Landon. I want to know everything about her before we sit down across from her." They spent 3 days pulling records, interviewing hotel staff, and building a timeline of Senator Thornton's extramarital activities. The picture was damning. A pattern of infidelity stretching back years, conducted with just enough discretion to avoid public scandal, but not enough to escape a thorough investigation. Rebecca Landon's office was sleek and modern, much like the woman herself. She sat across from Grimes and Callahan, her posture relaxed, but her eyes careful. "Ms. Landon," Grimes began, "we understand you had a relationship with Senator Thornton." Rebecca's expression didn't change. "I assumed that's why you were here. Yes, James and I were involved for about a year. It ended 6 months ago."
"Can you tell us about the nature of your relationship?" Callahan asked, pen poised over his notepad.
Rebecca sighed.
"It was complicated. James was charming, passionate about his work. We connected on many levels, but we both knew it couldn't last."
"Why not?"
Grimes pressed.
"His wife," Rebecca said simply.
"She knew about us."
Grimes and Callahan exchanged a glance. This was not what they'd expected. "Mrs. Thornton knew? How?" Rebecca gave a wry smile. Because she told me herself. She approached me at a fundraiser, pulled me aside. I thought she was going to cause a scene, but instead... She shook her head, still seeming bewildered by the memory.
What did she say? Callahan leaned forward.
She said she knew about the affair, had known for months, but she wasn't angry. She was clinical. Said as long as I didn't interfere with James's work or their public image, she didn't care. She made it clear their marriage was a partnership, not a romance. She seemed more concerned with his political career than his fidelity.
Did she seem like a woman who might eventually snap? Callahan pressed.
Jealousy building under the surface? Rebecca considered this carefully. No, honestly, she seemed relieved. Like she was glad someone else was handling that part of James's needs so she didn't have to. It sounds cold, but that's what it felt like. As they left Rebecca's office, the momentum they'd built over 3 days collapsed. Callahan looked deflated. Grimes's jaw was tight.
Well, Callahan said, that wasn't what we expected.
Grimes stopped walking. We just spent the better part of a week chasing hotel records and phone logs for a wife who genuinely does not care that her husband was sleeping around. Didn't I have a feeling about this? When we first interviewed her, she didn't flinch at the affair question. So the affair angle is dead. As a motive for the wife, yes. She's not a jealous spouse. She's a business partner who lost her business partner. Grimes leaned against the car, suddenly looking very tired. Which means we need to look elsewhere. And we've lost a week. Not entirely lost, Callahan offered. We confirmed Rebecca Landon's alibi. She was at a corporate event the night of the murder, 50 miles away. And we know the other two affairs follow the same pattern. Thornton was a serial cheater, but nobody was killing him over it. Fine. So what are we left with? Callahan counted on his fingers. The missing aide, Mark Frost, the governor's secret meetings, the mystery woman at the bar, and the political angle, whoever benefits from Thornton's death. Grimes nodded slowly. And the cologne. Don't forget the cologne. Expensive men's fragrance at the scene of a murder where the wife had no jealousy motive. We're looking for a man, Mike, or at least we should be. While the detectives had been chasing affairs, the investigation's other threads had been moving. The $1 million reward had generated over 400 tips, most of them useless, but one lead had gained traction. Harold Dunning, CEO of Midwest Firearms Distributors and one of the largest pro-gun donors in the state. Multiple tipsters, some anonymous, some not, had pointed to Dunning as a man with motive. Grimes pulled his file and found plenty to work with. Dunning had donated over $3 million to pro-gun causes in the past 5 years, with Senator Thornton as his primary political investment. His company's stock price was directly tied to gun legislation. If Thornton's vote wavered on even one key bill, Dunning stood to lose tens of millions. They brought him in on a Thursday afternoon. He arrived with a lawyer and the easy confidence of a man who believed money made him untouchable. Mr. Dunning, you were at Senator Thornton's fundraiser the night he was killed. Terrible tragedy. James was a true defender of our rights. You also had a heated argument with the senator that evening. Several witnesses saw it. Dunning's confidence flickered. I wouldn't call it an argument. We had a disagreement about strategy, normal political discourse.
What kind of strategy? Callahan pressed.
The Cartwright family, Mrs. Thornton's people, were throwing money around aggressively that night, doubling any donation. I thought it was unseemly. I told James as much. You were concerned about the optics of campaign finance? I was concerned about exposure. When you throw that kind of money around publicly, people start asking questions about what you're buying.
Grimes changed tack.
Mr. Dunning, there have been rumors that Senator Thornton was considering softening his stance on gun control. Were you aware of those rumors?
Dunning's expression hardened.
Rumors are just that. Rumors. James was rock solid on gun rights. His office put out a statement the very morning after his death reaffirming that. But if those rumors were true, hypothetically, what would that mean for your business?
Dunning's lawyer leaned in.
My client doesn't deal in hypotheticals, detective. Let me put it differently. Your company's stock dropped 8% when those rumors circulated last month. A permanent shift in Thornton's voting record could cost you, what, 20 million? 30?
Detective, Dunning said, his voice low and controlled. I'm a businessman. I don't murder my investments. I protect them.
Where were you between 9:45 and 10:15 on the night of the fundraiser?
In the gold donors' suite. Ask anyone.
They did. And his alibi checked out. Multiple witnesses placed him in the suite during the window of the murder, including a state representative who'd been trying to corner him about a zoning issue.
Alibi's solid, Callahan said afterward. Half a dozen witnesses.
Then he didn't do it himself, Grimes said. But a man with his resources could have arranged it.
The cologne at the scene could be a hired killer.
Could be, but we're building theories on top of theories.
Grimes stared at the board, which was growing more cluttered by the day. Thornton's photo sat at the center, surrounded by a web of names and connecting lines. We need to find Mark Frost. He's the thread we haven't been able to pull.
As if on cue, Callahan's phone buzzed. He read the text, then looked up.
Frost just used a credit card. Gas station outside Millfield, 2 hours south. Get me a location, now.